Red in the Dark. Chapter 2, Part 2 of The Day Before. Fucking junkies. The path was narrow along the fence. Dumpsters on one side, the chain-link fence that encircled the field of Kennedy Park running along the other. Tall and rusted, the park dark and empty behind it. Larry's pace held. The middle of the path was black. He moved through it. His eyes adjusted and kept the line ahead clean. Broken pavement, scattered trash, a gap between. Two shapes were up ahead. One standing, one low to the ground. Larry slowed. Not his business. As he got closer, the details resolved. A man stood with the easy posture of someone who owned the space. Clean streetwear, a chain catching what little light there was, a vape in one hand. He shifted his weight as if he were bored. A woman was on her knees in front of him. Her head moved in a slow, rhythmic pull. His hand rested on top of it, not gripping, just present.
Looks like someone's putting in some work tonight.
Shut up,
Larry muttered. The man's hand stilled. He looked up. His eyes found Larry in the dark, and his free hand moved to his waist, fumbling with the zipper.
Yo, the fuck are you doing?
The man stepped into the path, blocking it. Leonard stopped at a distance, running in place.
Just passing through, sorry.
Then pass the fuck through somewhere else, big man, before you get past the fuck through.
Larry's eyes cut past him to the woman. Still on her knees, her hands lay loosely in her lap. Her head bobbed weakly, eyes barely open, as if disconnected from her body. His face fell into concern.
Are you okay?
A low rumble of laughter moved through his chest. The familiar rasp followed.
You're gonna be a Boy Scout, ain't ya?
The man's expression shifted, confidence tightening into irritation.
The fuck I just say, bitch!
Metal flashed. A folding knife opened in his hand, held low. The movement was fast, practiced. Leonard became still, his features smoothed into a placid mask, then twisted into an over-the-top show of worry.
Now get the fuck out of here,
the man said, voice climbing.
Before I gut you!
Larry lifted his hands a few inches, palms out, face reassuring.
Easy. I'm just making sure she's...
I look like I don't know how to care for my bitches?
He snapped.
Move! Now!
Leonard looked at her again. She was now hunched over, drooling. His face melted from concern to focus. The laughter stopped. The man saw Leonard's expression change. He took a small, hesitant step back and raised the knife. Larry exhaled and stepped into him. Larry sidestepped, left foot back, weight already shifting. His right hand shot into the side of his assailant's neck before the motion finished. The grip on the knife loosened. Larry caught the wrist mid-drop and turned it. The blade changed hands in one motion. Leonard drove it into the outer thigh. The man's mouth opened. The scream had no time. Larry's forehead came down onto the bridge of his nose and replaced it with a dull, wet thud. The leg folded. He hit the pavement like a bag of loose bricks. Leonard stayed over him. He tried to scramble backward, one arm dragging, the other coming up to cover his face. Larry followed without hurry and dropped a heel just above the knee joint. There was a chilling pop. The leg went slack. The sound he made wasn't a scream anymore, just wet breath and panic. His body tried to crawl anyway, one elbow digging into the dirt, his ruined leg dragging uselessly behind him. Larry crouched, grabbed a fistful of hair, and pulled his head back.
Breathe,
he said, a small grin at the corner of his mouth.
You're okay.
The words didn't match the hand in his hair. Derek made a horrible choking sound. Leonard glanced absently past him toward the apartment buildings overlooking Kennedy Park. One apartment window glowed against the dark, a television flickered softly inside. Bob Ross. Leonard blinked, then quietly laughed to himself.
Oh my God, is that Bob Ross?
Derek wheezed beneath him. Leonard smiled softly.
Happy little trees.
He gently booped Derek on the nose with one blood-covered finger. Then he patted his cheek once and let go. The grin faded as he stood and turned to the woman. She was still on her knees, hands loose in her lap, eyes half open, still swaying. He crouched in front of her, voice dropping into a friendly, light tone.
Hey, you're safe now.
The stone focus from earlier, and the mocking grin now full of concern. She didn't answer. Leonard noticed that one of her sleeves had ridden up and leaned in closer for a look. Track marks. They ran nearly the length of the exposed arm. Something shifted behind his eyes. A dark rumble crept in.
Fucking junkies.
Larry snorted at the voice in disapproval as he looked her over. Her purse lay tipped over on the ground beside her knee. Contents spilled across the pavement. Photos. He picked one up. Two kids, small, smiling. Someone's whole life in a wallet photo. He looked back at her. Same sway. Same half-open eyes. Same nowhere. The laugh came low and slow from somewhere behind his sternum.
See, Boy Scout? Human waste. Kids are probably home alone or already taken by the state.
Larry said nothing. He looked at the photo one more time before placing it carefully back into the purse. He found her ID in the wallet. He read her details before slipping it into his pocket. Abigail Lakin, 117 Pine Street. He turned and moved back to the man lying on the ground, still trying to crawl, breath coming in short, ugly pulls. Leonard rolled him onto his side and went through him the way you'd check a piece of equipment before storing it. Wallet, ID, a name, an address. He pocketed the ID and tossed the wallet back onto the man's chest. A gun came out next. High Point C9. Leonard unchambered the round without looking and turned to him in mock disapproval as he slid it into his waistband.
I mean, I guess? A SIG P320 seems more up your alley, bud.
Cash. A thick fold. He pocketed it without counting. Then the dope. Twisted plastic tucked deep in the lining. He took that, too. The man's mouth was working through blood.
Yo!
He managed.
Deacon's gonna... fucking...
With no warning, Leonard hit him. Knuckles to the teeth. Sirens were closing toward Washington Avenue and Congress Street.
Have a great night, Derek,
Larry said playfully as he stood and turned the way he had been heading, fading into the night. Abby's head swam. Cold pavement pressed into her knees. The alley lights smeared and doubled. Something coated the inside of her mouth. Thick. She couldn't work out what it was, and her mind didn't push to find out. Derek was a few feet away, twisted onto his side, propped awkwardly on one arm. One leg lay wrong beneath him. His breathing came in sharp pulls, and blood slipped from his mouth when he coughed.
Abby!
He said tightly.
Abby, listen!
She blinked hard, trying to make him stay in one shape. Derek spat, winced, and swallowed it back down.
We were walking home,
he said.
You hear me?
Abby stared at him.
We were walking home,
he repeated, forcing the words through his teeth.
Some guy robbed us. That's it. That's what happened.
Sirens were already close. Red and blue light washed the mouth of the alley. Derek tried to lift his head and failed. Frustration flashed across his face.
Bitch!
He snapped.
Do you fucking hear me? Stick to it!
His head dropped back.
Don't get creative!
Abby's hands trembled in her lap. She nodded once, more reflex than agreement.
The ambulance arrived first, tires screeching, doors flying open. Medics came in fast with a stretcher and a bag, voices clipped and practiced. They dropped beside Derek immediately, one cutting his pant leg higher with shears while another pressed gauze hard into his thigh. Derek sucked air through his teeth and stayed upright anyway, jaw locked, eyes wide and furious. A patrol car pulled in behind the ambulance. Two cops got out, one older, thick around the middle, the other younger and lean. The older one took one look at Derek and laughed.
Jesus, what is this, Derek?
Derek turned his head slightly, blood at the corner of his mouth. He didn't answer. The older cop crouched just enough to look him in the face.
You like being a professional fuck-up?
A medic snapped without looking up.
Back up. We need space.
The older cop stood and ignored him.
Nah, we need to know what happened.
The younger cop hovered near the medic's shoulder, eyes already scanning Derek's pockets like he knew the routine. Derek breathed hard through his nose.
Fuck you, Foley. We were walking home. Some fuck robbed me.
Foley snorted.
Somebody robbed you and decided to decorate you on the way out.
The medic pressed harder. Derek flinched and clamped his jaw shut. The younger cop straightened, glancing toward the mouth of the alley.
Who'd you say did this?
Some guy.
Foley shook his head and looked at the younger one.
I'm sure Deacon's gonna believe that.
He chuckled.
Guy's got a temper.
Derek's eyes sharpened for half a second.
What the fuck is a deacon?
The words came out wrong around the blood. Foley smiled wider.
You tell me.
The medic cut in again, voice tight.
Can we move him now, or are we doing stand-up?
They lifted Derek onto the stretcher, secured him, and began moving him. Foley finally turned away and scanned the alley. His eyes landed on Abby. She was still on her knees, purse clutched in her lap, staring at nothing. He walked over and crouched in front of her.
Hey,
he stated, sounding as if he had already cracked the case.
Are you okay?
Abby blinked, tried to focus. His face swam in and out.
Ma'am,
he said louder.
Can you hear me?
She nodded slowly.
What happened?
Abby swallowed. Her throat felt raw.
We were walking home.
The words spilled out. The cop's mouth twitched.
Yeah.
She nodded again.
A guy robbed us.
His gaze swept over her, her eyes, pupils, and the way she was slumping. He didn't look surprised.
You're high.
Abby didn't answer.
Describe him.
He snapped. Her eyes drifted toward the mouth of the alley, toward the lights, toward nothing. She tried to pull a face out of the fog and came up with a shape instead.
Joggers,
she drawled.
Sneakers, a hoodie.
Hair?
Dark. Maybe brown?
She shook her head.
I don't know.
A female medic stepped in beside them, her voice softer.
Hey, honey. Look at me.
Abby tried. Abby's arms caught the medic's attention. She gave no comment. Her face subtly shifted with familiar understanding.
Are you sure he was robbing you?
She asked gently. Abby nodded immediately. Foley cut back in without looking at the medic.
You two running together?
He tilted his head toward the stretcher without turning.
Are you holding anything for him?
Abby's stomach turned. The medic kept her voice level.
You can tell us if he's mixed up in something, if you're scared of him, if he's making you do things.
No.
Abby shook her head.
We were just walking home.
Foley said nothing. He looked at her as if he had seen this more times than any human should. Behind them, Derek shouted once as the stretcher hit a bump, then clamped down again, jaw grinding, already managing it. Still managing it.
The medic squeezed Abby's shoulder lightly.
Okay. I'm going to get you checked too. Just breathe.
Abby nodded. Her eyes drifted back to the pavement. Red and blue light kept washing over everything. The alley, the stretcher, Foley's face, the mouth of the path where the dark just sat there, empty. It felt like a loop that wouldn't end, like she had been here before, like she would be here again. Abby understood. She'd made a mistake. She just wasn't sure yet which one. Up next, Chapter 3, The Day Of, Part 1. The Courier.